qualified specialist on staff. EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process in which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
AM 1400 and 93.3 FM K1, and we are here for a community connection this morning, brought to you, of course, by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center and by Tall Grass Motors. I get to spend a little bit of time with Shelly and Danny Holdman, and they are both in from Safe Now. You say, what's Safe Now? Well, I'll get to their acronym and everything in just a moment. Shelly, for no other good reason other than your board president, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you for having us.
And for those that are not familiar with Safe Now, the organization under other names have been around, I think you said, since 1999, is that right?
Yes, it has. It was formerly Washington in the Water, County Sane, and now we're called Safe Now, which stands for Sexual Assault Forensic Exams for Nowata, Osage, and Washington Counties.
And now that we have the acronym and the nonprofit identified, basically, and I'm putting this in more of a nutshell than you will, sexual assault forensic exams, Nowata, Osage, Washington County, and whether or not someone files criminal charges, you're doing the exam and holding the results of that exam, maybe for future use a year from now if they do choose to file a charge or something, right?
Correct. We do the forensic medical exams, and we start out with history and physical of the patient, and we just want to make sure that they're okay, and we check them out. And any evidence that we collect, we save for about a year. That's saved by the Dewey Police Department.
That is so neat, because I think it gives women the opportunity to do the right thing medically, but then sometimes trauma is what trauma is, or people have second, third, fourth thoughts about whether they want to, but he's such a nice guy or whatever, and so if they choose later to file that criminal charge, everything's still there.
Correct. And if the patient is over 18 years of age, they do not have to have law enforcement involved. We can do the exam. If they're under 18, we do have to involve law enforcement. But the collection, we collect all the evidence that is saved, and that just kind of gives the victim time to process everything, think about it, figure out if they want to press charges or if not. Yeah. But we do have the evidence saved.
And I have seen the numbers. I don't remember, so I'll just say that sexual assault is a very underreported crime.
It is, yes. We figure about three times as many assault happens as are reported.
Yeah, and then once it's reported, that police report may or may not make it into the judicial system. Again, it happened, we reported it, there's a police report, but then she still may say, I don't think I'll file charges.
Right.
Why I don't know, that's a personal choice, but she does choose sometimes not to file the charges.
Right. And we do exam also on men. It's not just women who are sexually assaulted. We do exam on men, women, and children.
And I think that's important. And Danny, just from your side of it, as medical director for the project, you get to oversee collection of evidence and that sort of thing.
Right.
If I understand your job right.
Yeah. We have specially trained forensic nurses who actually perform the exams, and as the medical director, I am available for them to contact at any time if they have questions about medical issues that arise. And like Shelly mentioned, the first thing that we're most concerned with is making sure that the person is safe and healthy, and you know that there's no permanent damage, or if there are medical issues that need to be treated, whether that's with antibiotics or some other kind of treatment, they'll call me get guidance on that, mm-hmm. and make sure that we're doing things appropriately there.
And there are certain guidelines, I'm sure, both at the state and national level to ensure proper collection. and that sort of thing.
Correct, yes. The same nurses, the forensic exam nurses, go to special training, which is pretty intensive, mm-hmm. and they do lots of ongoing continuing education to make sure that they're keeping up with the national and local standards for that.
I'm trying to remember, yeah, it was late 90s somewhere that I remember running several stories that the ER and Jane Phillips were accredited, and the folks had gone through the proper training. It may have been 98, 99, I don't remember for sure, but late 1990s.
Right. And basically what we've done is we've taken some of that away from the hospital. A lot of times the people will present to the emergency room, and they will then contact us to continue the exam. And one of the first things that we often do is remove them from that environment, because mm-hmm. It's not necessarily conducive to privacy or to comfort. And obviously, folks who've been through these kind of things are often traumatized. And so we'll often take them to another place, whether it's at the hospital. We have a special area there that is removed from the emergency room and is a more comfortable environment. And then also with children, we work closely with Ray of Hope, and we'll do some of the exam and interview and stuff there at Ray of Hope, which is a much more friendly environment for
sure.
Children, more relaxing.
Absolutely. And I will say a lot of good things about emergency rooms, but when you talk about an emergent situation, things are fluid, they're constantly changing, and therefore what was just fine now, a minute or two on down the road, all of a sudden became a compromising situation.
Absolutely. Yeah, the chaos sometimes reigns in the emergency room. As a matter of fact, I'm an emergency room physician, and I just got off of a shift. I work in Ponca City, and it certainly can get crazy very quickly. So we want to make sure that anybody who's gone through something like this is in an environment where they can be comfortable and feel safe to tell their story and to go through whatever examination is necessary.
Yeah, well, I'll leave my Air Force career out of it, other than to say that I worked around that environment, so I'm well familiar with type of situation you can have. There is an event coming up roughly a month from now, April 14th. You do have a rain date, but I'm going to continue to say April 14th until we need to talk about the
right.
rain date. But it's something going on at Johnstone Park, and I'm going to just grocery list a few things. It's an awareness-raising project. It's an opportunity to find out information, but also, I think you've got a fundraiser going on.
Yes, it's our first major fundraiser, and it's called Walk a Mile in Her Shoes. Walk a Mile in Her Shoes is actually an international men's march that mm-hmm. happens all around the world.
Something very similar has gone on a number of years in Bartlesville. It's been not going on for a few years, but Family Crisis and Counseling Center used that same sort of event with some great participation, by
yes.
the way, from that number of years. And I think so those that have participated will say, oh, sounds good. I get to dress up again.
Yes, and it's very exciting. We're very excited about it. It's about men supporting victims by walking almost a mile, not quite a mile, in high heels. And they get to strut their stuff on the streets of Bartlesville in support of victims. And this is our first major fundraiser. It's going to be April 14th. Yes.
And guys quickly find out that if they're not used to it, which they aren't, that it's a much different experience than you might think.
Yes. And they can bring their own heels if they can find it in their size. Or if not, we are going to have heels that we can rent. These heels are made especially for this event. They're made especially for men's feet. They are 4-inch heels, though, but we think the men can handle it. They're men enough to handle it, and we can get them up to size 15. But if you do want to rent the heels, then you kind of have to register early so that we can get those ordered.
And most of the guys that I have seen go, I'll say, above the heels and do the whole outfit.
Right, yes. A lot of people like to dress up and just make it big and bold, and we welcome that.
Yeah. Do you have any, at this point in time, I'll say, celebrity walkers involved that you can talk about?
Not that we can talk about. We're trying to work on one right now, but we haven't got a confirmation yet, so we're hoping.
Okay, well, we will hope for a good turnout, but this is something that I think, if it is similar to what is going on, and you're walking a mile, which again is more than the shorter event, just a block or two, that Family Crisis and Counseling Center did, but I think you're going to get a good turnout.
We're looking forward to it. We're hoping for a good turnout. We're hoping for sunshine, and we're hoping that all of Bartlesville community would come out and support support us. And if you're not walking, we hope that you would just come out. You can donate to the cause, or you could just be on the street kind of supporting the guys and cheering them on.
And, of course, because it's in Johnstone Park, you're not right on Frank Phillips, so where you're highly visible, but plenty of room for a crowd to come on and cheer them on.
Well, we are starting at the Johnstone Park Pavilion.
Okay.
And then we're going to walk on the streets of Bartlesville and end back up at the Pavilion. So a lot of people should be able to see us on the streets.
I think that's important that people do get to see what's going on. And you'll find a few people, I'm sure, that are uninformed of what's going on and probably get a few looks and a few honks on the horn in the process.
Right.
How did you manage to come up with this event? You say it's a part of a national strategy?
It is. This walk actually supports sexual assault and domestic violence. It's to end sexual assault, rape, and domestic violence, and it goes on all over the world. The organization Walk a Mile in Her Shoes has been around a very long time, and we just kind of licensed the name from them to go ahead and do this walk in Bartlesville.
I think it's going to be fun, and there is a short rally afterwards, is that correct?
Yes, we're going to have a few speakers there, and we're going to have a good time. We're going to have music. We're going to have things for the kids to do. So we're making it kind of a big family event where people can get information. And so sexual assault and violence against women and gender violence would no longer be seen as this taboo thing where victims have to be ashamed. We want people to talk about it. We want people to know it happens in Bartlesville, but we want to be able to talk about it. So that's why we're having the event.
Well, we're going to talk more about it here in just a moment or so. Again, talking with Shelley Holdman and Danny Holdman. They are in from SAFE Now. Again, Sexual Assault Forensic Exams for Nowata, Osage, and Washington County. It's the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event coming up April 14th. We'll take a short break and invite you and let you know how you can get part of what's going on in just a bit.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
Continuing our time this morning on a Community Connection and talking with Shelley and Danny Holdman. And SAFE Now, you are a nonprofit organization, so people's donations, whether they donate at the event or simply, you know, want to write you a check today and send it off, it is a tax-deductible donation.
It is. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, so all donations are tax-deductible.
And this is something that we've talked about for a while. It's been going on either by this name or by a previous iteration of a nonprofit. How do you get registered for the event?
Okay, so you can go to our website at oksafenow.org, and there will be a link that will take you to our registration page. You can register as an individual if you just want to stretch your stuff by yourself, or you can register with a team to have other people come alongside you.
I think most guys would probably want some friends alongside. It is a big step.
Right, it is. And, you know, you'll have that support there to hang on to if you're kind of wobbly on the heels.
Yeah, definitely there is a balance issue, and as you get taller, it gets worse.
Right.
Danny, as far as when you are talking with the assault victim, there's a certain amount already of I'm nervousness, reticence, I don't really want to be here sort of feeling, I'm sure. And it's up to the medical provider or you or a member of the staff to, first of all, put them at ease and let them know that people have gone through this before, right?
Absolutely. Our SANE nurses are specially trained, again, in collecting the evidence. But in addition to the medical personnel, we also have victim advocates. Shelley is also a sexual assault victim advocate. And their role is to basically be there for the victim, if for nothing else than to just hold their hand, to reassure them and help make them more comfortable as they go through the experience. And they also will follow them through the investigation. And if they end up having to go to court for something, then our victim advocates will be there with them for that as well.
As I understand it, there are several layers of what I'm going to call protection for the victim. First of all, if you collect the evidence, that's the first step, and it could go no further than staying within the confines of your nonprofit, right?
That's correct. We will turn the evidence kits over to law enforcement, but we actually can have exams performed completely anonymously.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the victims will come forward and want to have the evidence collected in case there's future prosecution or litigation, but they don't necessarily have to have their name associated with it. So even law enforcement may not even know who they are until and when they decide they want to identify themselves and move forward with that.
At this point in time, and I don't know how they were filed, I'm going to say where they could be filed as, for instance, as an example. I think I got enough qualifiers in there. Jane Doe number 27.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And until you need to do something with the information and evidence of Jane Doe number 27, then that's where the naming of it stays.
Right. The contact information stays with us. And the police department or law enforcement doesn't get their information until they decide they want to move forward with that.
Yeah, and I think it's important that folks know that there is a layer of anonymity there, and it's fairly well common knowledge. I chair the local Crime Stoppers board, so anonymity is something I work with on a regular basis.
Absolutely. Like Shelley said, it's a subject that people think of as very taboo. And, we deal with victims from all walks of life. People think that this primarily may affect people of certain socioeconomic classes or whatever, but we actually have victims from all walks of society, both males and females, adults and children. We do somewhere between 50 and 60 exams per year, and then we also conduct additional forensic interviews even without doing necessarily what people think of as a rape kit or the forensic evidence collection.
Right.
So we do a lot more of that as well.
And I think just as a short definition of a forensic interview, again, it's a matter of collecting evidence, but in this case, it's things like the victim statement and that sort of thing.
That's right. Yeah. It's difficult sometimes when you're being interviewed by multiple different law enforcement agencies and, then also medical personnel and even friends and family members. It's difficult sometimes to keep all those details straight, and so it's very important early on to get someone who is well trained and experienced in gathering the proper information and getting things down in a proper timeline and making sure that everything is laid out clearly.
Yeah, and so this is an important step in the process so that when it does move forward, whether it's that same day or 9 months down the road, that law enforcement, the court system, and everybody has that. This is at the time it happened or as contemporaneous as possible to that you're getting those statements down.
That's correct. We typically like to perform exams and interviews as soon as possible as we can for evidence collection. Most of the time within 72 hours is the best time to do that, but we have done both physical exams and interviews much later than that as well.
Yeah, I think it makes common sense though that as close to the act as possible before evidence starts to degrade, before memories start to do something different. So again, right, as close to the event as possible.
And we also do follow-up visits with the victims because as we know, the brain doesn't work in a chronological order, so they might remember something a day later or 2 days later. So we do follow up with them, and we also follow up with them to see injuries because some injuries do not show up right away. They'll show up 2 days later. So we do follow up to check out their injuries later on. And we also follow up with them just to see how they're doing, make sure they're coping, make sure they have counseling set up and that they're following up with that.
Yeah. You don't provide the counseling. You simply open the door and say, here are some resources. Can I help you make an appointment?
Right. We give them the resources that they need. We work closely with Ray of Hope Child Advocacy Center, and we also work closely with FCC Family Crisis and Counseling.
And I think that's important that we have some great resources like those two organizations that are there to, they just barely overlap so that there's a continuity of care, but in general, they don't duplicate each other.
Correct. And we all kind of work together collaboratively to help the patient and help the victims.
OKSafeNow.org, is that the best way to register for the event?
That is the best way to register for the event. You can also go to our Facebook page for Safe Now, and that will also take you to the site that's going to register you. But OKSafeNow.org is the best way to get the link.
We're Facebook Live on this interview as well, so I didn't get a chance to tag your site, but you can obviously share it from the radio station site to your Facebook page as well. If people missed out on the first part of this, why we can, you know, send them to that. Of course, we always post the podcast online as part of our coverage here on K1 Radio as well. You know, we've got about a minute and a half left or so. This is April 14th. That's a Saturday, I believe.
It's a Saturday, and we're going to open registration at 9 a.m. and we're going to be there until about noon. So hopefully everybody will make it into the finish line by noon in their heels. But we're looking for a good crowd. We're looking for the support of Bartlesville community to come out.
Okay. I see there are some registration fees, $20 if you bring your own, $25 if you need to have you guys furnish the heels.
Right. So it's $20 if you can find your own heels in your own size, like I said, or $25 if you are going to rent heels from us. Those heels do have to be turned back in at the end, even though they're nice and fashionable. But we are going to have them in different sizes. They go up to a men's size 15. So if you are going to rent heels from us, then we ask that you register pretty early. We're getting down to about a month away now, so the earlier you register, the better.
That's a community connection on AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1 News on the way next from the ONN.
ONN News, I'm Sean Carey. State employees say they will join